Out with your host, Steve Noble. Just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God. And he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Know what to do today. And I know we've got, here are my friends on Facebook Live. We got some bounce back going on. So please forgive me that. I'm going to bring that down a little bit. Had some technical difficulties recently with Truth Radio Network, our friends over in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. But boy, what a weekend it's been. And I guess it would be pretty easy to start complaining, perhaps, that the concerns about Hurricane Irma and all that were overblown, if you will, and just not accurate. And you know what? I'm just choosing today. I'm just going to choose today to praise the Lord that the storm wasn't as bad. Of course, there's all kinds of devastation, and we are only learning about a little bit of it at this point. And but you know, yeah, there's devastation. There's probably some loss of life, all kinds of businesses shut down, you know, 4, 5, 6 million people without power, and just a big mess. And so I just want to just praise the Lord that it's not nearly as bad as they were saying and forecasting. And I guess that's an argument for another day. But the cleanup and everything that's going to be happening as a result of Hurricane Irma, that's going to be going for a while. So I'm going to pivot today. And thank you to those of you that were a part of our Facebook Live events this weekend. We did it. The Lord just moved me to do it on Saturday, and then again on Sunday night. I think it was around 9 o'clock Eastern time, and had a bunch of people that take part in just a kind of an impromptu prayer time to pray ahead of the storm and pray for the people that would that were going to be impacted and have been impacted, and read some scriptures together, and just spent time praying, and then took names of people because we had a lot of people on Facebook Live just sharing names of folks that they know down there in the path of the storm. And so we were able to pray for them by name, and that was a great blessing. But I'm not going to spend the show time today talking about that. There's going to be plenty of time to talk about that. And so what I want to do is, as you may have noticed, I hope you've noticed, that today is September 11th. And, of course, this is the 16th anniversary, if you can use that word. I'm not comfortable with it, but it is what it is. The 16th anniversary of the attack on our country, 9/11. The Twin Towers, of course, at the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and then, of course, Flight 93 went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And so today I wanted to share a couple things with you, and one is a story, and then we'll have a Money Monday update at the end of the show, at the last segment of the show with David Fisher from Landmark Capital. But I wanted to share a story. I put a couple pictures, one picture up on Facebook earlier today, just a little while ago, announcing the show. So if you want to see who I'm talking about, I put up a picture of Derek and Morgan Rodriguez. They are Derek's probably, let's see, 17, 16 years ago. So Derek is 22 and Morgan is 16. Brother and sister, Derek and Morgan Rodriguez. And I met Derek when he was 6. And I met Morgan, kind of, when she was only about 2 months old. Derek was 6 the day that his firefighting father, Anthony, died at Ground Zero in 9/11. Last seen going into the hotel there at the base of the towers. I think that was a Hyatt or maybe a Marriott. That's the last time that Anthony Rodriguez was seen alive. Derek was 6 that day, and his sister Morgan would be born 3 days later on September 14th. And their mom, Evelyn, who I met on November 9th, 2001, when I spent the day in New York City and with some firefighters. I actually spent 2 hours at Ground Zero, like inside the Ground Zero area, and so part of the day was we had raised some money, and we're giving the money. I used to be in the house painting world, and a buddy of mine also had a business, and we raised $4,000 that we wanted to give directly to a widow of a firefighter. And so there's a long story there behind that, and but ended up finding out about Evelyn Rodriguez, whose husband, Anthony, had died on 9/11. He was a probie, so he literally just gotten out of training as a firefighter, had also served the U.S. in the military, and that day perished going to Ground Zero. And so we met had a chance to meet Evelyn and went to her small little row house there in Brooklyn. And the firefighter, Tom Denard from Engine 161, that was in Red Hook there in Brooklyn, took me out to meet her. I didn't know I was going to meet her that day. And Derek, her son, and Morgan, who was not quite about 2 months old at the time. But I did. And we had raised some money. Gina, my wife, bought a little outfit for Morgan and had a picture taken of all our painters in front of one of the houses that we had painted, and took all the guys donated their time. Sherwin Williams donated the paint. And so that's how we raised the money. And I want to just tell you a little bit more about that story here today. And then I want to take you through, I had never seen this before. Remember Ari Fleischer? So if you're old enough, and odds are you are, if you're old enough to remember everything going on back in 9/11 and the Bush presidency, Ari Fleischer was his press secretary. And Ari Fleischer has done this in the past, and he's doing it again on Twitter, where he tweets out all day today on 9/11 what he would have, because we didn't have Twitter on 9/11 in 2001, but he tweets out, he's been tweeting all day, what he would have been tweeting out had he had Twitter as he went through that day, as he was with President Bush all throughout the day. And so I'm going to read some of those as well. It's fascinating to kind of get a behind-the-scenes look at what was going on with the President of the United States at the time, George W. Bush, 43. So I want to share that with you and then tell you a little bit more about Morgan and Derek Rodriguez and their mom, Evelyn, and their father, Anthony, and how I came to meet them in this picture that I put up on Facebook a little while ago, which I had not seen them. There was a time, either Time Magazine or Newsweek had done an article on all these moms that had children whose fathers had died in 9/11. And on the cover of that magazine, there was Evelyn. And that was a couple years later, like 1 or 2 years after 9/11. And I saw that. And then just every once in a while, I try to find out where they are. And why I do that, I think as I tell you this story, you'll understand. But then found out that they actually live really close to where my parents live, outside of Charleston, South Carolina. And I've tried a couple different ways to contact their mom, Evelyn, and want to be respectful about that. But Derek is now 22, and Morgan, his sister, is 16, and their father, Anthony, died on 9/11. I'm wearing a hat here in the studio if you want to check this out. I'm on Facebook Live, facebook.com/C2A Radio. I'm wearing a hat today that Tom Denard gave me in the firehouse that day in November of 2001. When I spent the day with him, he gave me this hat, and he asked me one thing to do for him that day, which was to never forget, and I'm not. So we'll keep talking about that when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. And working our way through a little 9/11 story here. And I'm going to share some of these tweets from Ari Fleischer, who was the secretary, the press secretary for President Bush when 9/11 was going on. But we were going to try to test something here, but we've got all kinds of still some challenges on the technical side. So I just want to, it's been a wild couple of months, really. You know, I had to take a two-week sabbatical trying to get my voice back on track, and it was doing much better, and now it's kind of taken a backwards turn. So that battle's continuing, so please pray for me with that. And I don't know exactly what's going on. It's very frustrating. So just pray for that and technical issues. It's just been a wild couple months, so I just appreciate you guys being there for me and with me and being considerate and patient and forgiving. So thank you for that. And also pray for our friends at the Truth Radio Network. They're dealing with a lot of stuff too. And like I said, the main station where I get syndicated out of in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, they had a lightning strike last week. So it's been really, really difficult. And but just appreciate your patience. And I'll actually be in LA tomorrow. So I'm on a plane super early tomorrow morning doing a Facebook Live event. So if you want to go to Greg Laurie's page, Pastor Greg Laurie, Harvest Crusades, I'll be hosting a live event with Greg out in L.A. tomorrow night about, I think it's 8 o'clock Eastern time, with Greg Laurie and John Irwin talking about the upcoming documentary. That's a one-night-only Fathom event that you got to go see. It's an unbelievable story. The salvation of an American icon, Steve McQueen, who actually got saved before he got sick and then eventually died from cancer, mesothelioma. But I'll be out there tomorrow, and I'm going to do the show from L.A. With the author of a book I just read recently called Messy Grace. He's a pastor now, but when he grew up, his parents divorced and both of them were gay. And so talk about messy grace. It's an incredible book, an incredible story. So we'll do that tomorrow. Another great book and another author on Wednesday, Bob Erdman, and we're talking about his book, all about work, really understanding a biblical perspective on work. The Call to Work is the name of the book. So some great encouraging information and news and things, education really, that we'll be sharing this week. But back to this 9/11 story, and if you want to see the pictures of these young people, not so young anymore. I mean, Derek Rodriguez is 22. His little sister Morgan is 16. And I was sharing that story, and so they're back in 9/11. You know, when all that happened, it didn't take long, and we were all like, "Well, what can I do? What can I do?" Well, a friend of mine who used to work for me, he had his own painting business. I had my painting business, so we decided to raise some money. So we raised about $4,000, and then decided, okay, we got to get around all these charities, because Bill O'Reilly especially was pointing out the fact, where are all these tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars going? So through a series of interesting events that I believe are God ordained, I was able to get to a firefighter and narrowed it down to one, because we tried to find a Hispanic firefighter that was married and had children, which kind of represented the scope of our two businesses, and found out about one, Anthony Rodriguez, who his wife Evelyn gave birth to their daughter Morgan on September 14th. Actually, on September 12th, she was scheduled for a C-section, but she told the doctors, I'm not coming in until Anthony comes home. Well, Anthony wasn't coming home. So we found out about her and just this amazing series of events. It's just a great story. I'll tell the whole thing at length one of these days. I've done it in the past. But anyway, we ended up out there. It was me and a firefighter. His name was Tom Denard, and he worked in, I think it was Engine 161 in Brooklyn. And he picked me up at the train station that morning there in Manhattan. And we ended up out in Evelyn Rodriguez's house. So this is November 9th of 2001. This is just about 2 months after 9/11. Okay. And so her husband's dead. She's a widow. She's barely getting any money from the fire department that early. The money wasn't really flowing. She lived in this tiny little row house in Brooklyn. And I show up, this guy from Raleigh, North Carolina, that somehow by God's providence and intervention picked her to hand her a check. And so we get there and I'm nervous as all get out. I was not the bold person then that I am now. And we went in and Evelyn did not look good. She was just kind of ashen. I'm sure that she's basically still in shock. And there was Derek, little Derek, who, if you look at his picture on my Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A radio. It's a recent picture. He's 22 now, but he was 6 then. And super friendly little kid. And he was playing around with different toys. And then there was, Morgan was right there on the couch. She was asleep on the couch, this tiny little baby. And they had her kind of boxed in there, you know. And so she was asleep on the couch. And I met Evelyn, and Evelyn had a friend over. And I just walked into this. Just, you know, hey, this is the guy I told you about. And, you know, he's from Raleigh. And I had a check with me for $4,000 made out to her. I had a letter, a 2-page letter explaining how did we end up with your name and giving you this money, and a picture of all the guys in front of a house that we were painting. And this was, I didn't share the gospel. I just wasn't there yet in my faith back in 2001. But as we sat there, I'm looking around this tiny little row house there in Brooklyn, and I'm looking at like Thomas the Tank Engine, toys and videos. And I'm like, yeah, I recognize those. We've had those at our house and other little videos that I recognize. And that bond of humanity was right there. And I'm, you know, kind of playing around with Derek, and Evelyn was doing something with Morgan, who was 2 months old at the time. And it was just, you know, it was like walking into a funeral, really. But the juxtaposition of this brand new baby girl, Morgan, who was scheduled to be born by C-section on September 12th. And I mentioned this earlier. Evelyn told the doctors, hey, I'm not coming in to have this baby until Anthony comes home. Well, Anthony was dead before noon on 9/11. And so she, you know, eventually they made her come in, and she gave birth to Morgan by C-section on September 14th. And so that's what I walked into the middle of. And And I've carried Morgan and Evelyn and Derek and Anthony in my heart ever since. And every year I'm like weepy right now. Every year on 9/11, it all comes back because I spent the whole day there. I was down on Ground Zero. I was in the fire department with a bunch of firefighters. I spent about an hour at her house. I mean, I was the smells, the sights, the whole nine, and it just comes rushing back at me every year. And that's why I'm wearing this hat that says "Never Forget." So I spent that time with her, and I remember asking her at one point. I said, "Morgan or Evelyn, does Derek?" And Derek was our 6-year-old son. He was six at the time. Does Derek get this? Does Derek know what's happening here? I'll never forget what she said, and this is an exact quote. Evelyn said, "Well, he doesn't get that his dad is dead. He does understand that his dad's never coming home again, but he doesn't understand why." And that was for a 6-year-old. That's like, what do you mean? I didn't understand death, but could grasp that his father was never going to come home again, but didn't know why. And so I explained to her in brief how we ended up at her house and how we got her name and all this other stuff. And gave her the check. And she was like, "Thank you so much for this. I know everybody on the news and stuff thinks that we're getting all kinds of money, but I'll tell you, Steve, the money isn't flowing yet. You know, we've even had a hard time getting this paycheck." And that was, so thank you so much. 'Cause this is coming up on Thanksgiving and Christmas. A couple more thoughts about that and a few other things about 9/11. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you live today and talking about... of course, we started talking about, we need to keep praying for. Listen, there's a lot to pray for. We did two Facebook Live events over the weekend, 9 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday night and then on Sunday night. So if you go to my if you go to my Facebook page, you can still see those. And they're still valid because we're praying. We're sharing encouraging scriptures. I shared on Saturday night this incredible prayer that Pastor John Piper had written for the hurricane people in the way and just dealing with a natural event like that. And then we were praying for people by name, and we still need to pray for those people. So if you want to spend Saturday night was about an hour and last night was about 35 minutes. If you want to spend some time in concentrated prayer with a bunch of other believers, you can just go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A radio, the letter C, the number two, the letter A, C2A radio. So facebook.com/C2A radio. And you can just hit play on both of those Facebook Lives, and you'll be able to have that time of prayer. So let's make sure we continue to pray for everybody in Florida. I want to lift up, especially just because we're here on the radio, we're on a great affiliate, WTIS, down in Tampa. And Tampa got hammered, obviously. Jacksonville's still in a nightmare. We're on two great stations in the Jacksonville area, Truth Radio down there. Just awesome affiliates, great friends, and they're getting hammered and struggling. So we're on in Jacksonville, and St. Augustine's just south of there. And New Brunswick, which is just north of there in just south Georgia, right along the border and right along the ocean there. So let's just continue to pray for the people, not only in Florida and other people affected by this hurricane, but we have to continue to pray for people in Texas. And the wildfires out west are horrific. And we need to be praying. There's just so many things that we should be praying about. So just a reminder about that. But if you want to join and just kind of join a prayer time together that we already had, that's will come across to you. It's just live right there on Facebook. You can go visit that at my Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A radio. Today, just sharing a 9/11 story that really I have an obligation to share because I made a promise to a firefighter on November 9th. 2001, when I was at Ground Zero, and I was just telling you the story about Evelyn Rodriguez. Her husband Anthony had died that day. He was a firefighter, a probie, so he had literally just finished training and was going into that kind of that probationary period at a firehouse, and was last seen entering the hotel. I think it might have been a Marriott at the base of one of the towers, and that's the last he was seen alive. He died that day on 9/11, and I was in his home with his wife and his son Derek. And a brand new baby girl, Morgan, on November 9th of 2001, through an interesting God-ordained series of events. I was there that day, and spent some time with Evelyn and Derek, who was just this fun little six-year-old boy, and Morgan was just not quite 2 months old at the time. And then we eventually left there and went to the firehouse that Anthony had been a part of. And that's how Tom got involved in this story, Tom Dennard. They took, in most of these firehouses where they lost firefighters, they took somebody offline. And they were dealing with friends and family members of people that had died, that the firefighters that had died. And that's how I got hooked up with Tom. So he picked me up that day and was my guide all day long. We went to Evelyn's house and we came back to the firehouse. That's where he gave me the hat I'm wearing right now, which you can see on Facebook Live. And then we went to Ground Zero. And, you know, he pulled up there. He was obviously used to dealing, taking people to Ground Zero, friends and a family of people that had died in the firehouse. And we parked several blocks away. And he's like, well, Steve, sure, you've heard of the smell and everything. Have you heard? Yeah, I know about that. Do you want? I can give you something to cover your nose and help with that. I'm like, no. Let's just go. And but it was surreal. It was I was lightheaded when we parked, knowing what I was about to walk into. And we walked for a couple of blocks. Had to go through a bunch of security, which was pretty intense. We saw firefighters and policemen, first responders from all over the country in their dress uniforms that had come just to pay their respects. And we got all the way in there. And if you remember those days, early on after they started to clear out debris, they had a little deck that they built down there, kind of a little platform area. You'd see Colin Powell there and Rumsfeld and all these interviews there. And that's where we were, overlooking the site inside of Ground Zero. And they were tearing down buildings 4, 5, and 6, which was surreal. Because it was only 2 months earlier, that was a bustling, busy, alive place. And now it's rubble, and they're tearing it, the remains of it down. The remains of one of the towers that was sticking up. I remember that picture. That piece is upside down. I didn't know that until that day, but Tom explained that to me, that it had fallen off and embedded in the ground. It was actually upside down. And so it was one thing after another, and Benjamin Netanyahu showed up on that deck while we were there. Tom was funny. He was like, he used some colorful language and making the point that, wow, he's probably not a very safe person to be around. So we took an exit, stage left, and walked down to the makeshift monuments for everybody on the planes, and then for the firefighters, and then for the police. And these were all kind of private areas inside the Ground Zero area right across the street that, you know, you couldn't just walk there. You had to be escorted. You had to have a good reason to be in there because it was a federal crime scene. So we did all that, and that just literally takes your breath away, standing there looking around the site and all the buildings around it, which were covered in this. You know what snow fencing is, right? It's like orange plastic, red plastic, and it's kind of like a little checkered thing. That was covering this kind of crimson-colored snow fencing, covering so many buildings around the site, like up 20, 30 floors, right? Because there were just holes and things missing and parts gouged out. It was crazy. But we finished up there, and then I had to get back to catch my train, and we're driving around Ground Zero, and we're getting ready to go back out on, I think, on the highway on the side, on the west side highway. And he's, you know, Tom's like, hey, Steve, have you heard about all those people that have been around here and they're cheering whenever we're coming out? I'm like, yeah, I've seen that on TV. He goes, you know, there's some of them still here 2 months later. They're still here. And we're driving this big white FDNY van. And Tom's like, okay, hey, they're going to be down here. Oh, I love this part. So Tom like pulls up his sleeves and he goes, look, all my hair's standing on end. And sure enough, this guy was like a studly firefighter dude, all right? But all his hair is standing up on his arms. And there's probably 6 or 7 people, and they see the FDNY van coming out of the Ground Zero area. And they all stand up, and they have flags, and they have banners, and they're all cheering, yeah, God bless you, we love America, driving by. It was unbelievable. Tom's like honking the horn and waving his fist. I'm waving. They're like, yeah. And then he took me to the train station. Now, several times during the day, I had said to Tom, dude, listen, thank you so much for, you're taking your whole day. You don't know me from boo, and you're taking me around here. It's just so kind of you. I feel bad that I'm taking up your time. And by that time, at the end of the day, Tom was a little frustrated with that. And he goes, okay, all right, Steve, you got to quit saying that. quit saying that, all right? It's an honor to spend the day with you and to bring you around. It's super important. And by the way, if we could do this with every single American, we would. Because our fear is that people are just going to go back to their normal lives and they'll just forget about it. It'll be no big deal. That was his fear. on November 9th, 2001. And his fear was obviously realized that we just kind of get back to life, which is part of it. We got to get back to our normal lives. That's part of defeating terrorism. But he goes, so don't say you're sorry again. And I just have one favor to ask of you. Just one favor. I'm only going to ask you for one thing, Steve. I'm like, okay, what is it, Tom? Anything. And that's what he said. Don't ever forget. Please don't ever forget what you've seen and what you've experienced here today. Don't forget. Please don't forget. And I said, Tom, I promise you, and I can easily promise you, I will never forget this. I will never forget this day. I will never forget you. I will never forget your firehouse. I will never forget Evelyn. I will never forget Derek. I will never forget Morgan. I will never forget Anthony. I will never forget this. And I ended up putting it into kind of a story form and put it in my sales book and my old paint company that I owned. And every quote I went to, every house I went to, it was there in the back of the book for them to read. And then as God gave me a platform and gave me a radio show, which all goes all the way back to 2007, then every year is close to 9/11. 9/11 doesn't always fall on a weekday, but when it does, I tell these stories. I tell part of it, a different aspect of it, whatever it is, because I have to keep that promise. And it's not hard to keep that promise to never forget. But that's the challenge for you and for me, for all of us really that experience that. And also with our children, you know, my children, 9/11 for them is a little more personal because of what I experienced there in November 9th of 2001. For my sister, it's different. She lived up in Yardley, still does. And when they first moved there, they met a wife whose husband had died. He was one of the pilots. You don't have to go dig too far into anybody's life to get some connection to 9/11. But we need to share it with our children just to let them know. I mean, number one for me is that life is precious and you don't know. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Nobody you know is guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. And so that's the urgency and the love, quite frankly, behind the gospel and sharing the gospel is knowing every person you see today, including your own family, your own spouse, your own children, there's no guarantee that they're going to be alive tomorrow. And so we have to have that urgency and that love and that care for people and that obedience to the Lord and that appreciation of the fact that we can share the gospel, that we know it, that life is present. It's so valuable and it's so limited. It's so precious. So we share, we learn, we pass it on, we share the gospel. That's our role as Christians. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio here on 9/11. Never forget it. We'll be right back. 'Cause you are more than I could ever dream. This world could ever see. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. And I just wanted to remind you, and I do this most days of the week, especially, you know, given all the tumultuous things going on in our world and the these natural disasters we're experiencing in America. With these hurricanes, Harvey and then Irma and the wildfires out west, you just never know what's going to happen. And so, you know, we all have to deal with health insurance and how do we take care of our health care and the massive expenses of that. So 5 years ago, I picked up the phone and I called MediShare to find out all about this. What is this Christian ministry that does medical health cost sharing? They've been around since 1993, over $1 billion shared in medical expenses since then. And just an incredible ministry and over pushing 300,000 Christians nationwide now. A way around Obamacare, a way to save money. Some people, $500, $600 a month, depends on your situation. But it's been a great blessing for the Noble family on the financial side. And knowing that when we're paying our monthly share, that's going directly to other believers to help them with their major medical expenses. So if you want to find out about it like I did, 855-BIBLE-11 is the number. 855-BIBLE-11, also now available in Montana. So you can check that out. Just give them a call, 855-BIBLE-11, and go ahead and tell them you heard about it on Call to Action Radio with Steve Noble. That would be great, although not necessary, but I think you'll be blessed by what you learn. And I want to go to my good buddy now, who's calling in on a Money Monday update. We always talk to David Fisher each week, and he helps us through some of these really complex financial issues. And so let's go to him now. David Fisher, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Steve.
That's great to hear. So I'm curious, we always start with the kind of a biblical admonition, right? So why is that important when we're going to talk about finances, that we start this little update with the Word of God?
Well, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it leads us into all truth. So God's concerned about our money and concerned about our economic environment around us. So His Word gives us instruction on how to live financially.
Amen. That's exactly right. And I always feel like, well, I don't always feel this way, but I like to remind people that Jesus talked a lot about money. 16 of the 38 parables were concerned with how to handle money and possessions in the Gospels. Like 1 out of 10 verses deal directly with that subject. So for me, it's if Jesus is talking about it, we're going to talk about it too. So let's dive right into this admonition today. 1 Corinthians 13:3. What does that tell us?
And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You know, obviously, Jesus demonstrated faith. He demonstrated hope and love. And he showed that in more than any person could have showed it by, you know, just alone being God and humbling himself as a man, yet alone dying for each one of us by shedding his own blood. Yet his spirit lives on forever. And, you know, in what's happening in the world today with the hurricanes, and also this being 9/11, it shows that America still has faith. America still has hope, and we're showing that out in our action of love. Many Americans, it doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican or independent, believer or non-believer, people are showing their love towards America and their fellow citizen by the actions with what's happening in the aftermath of, especially in Houston with Hurricane Harvey. And I'm sure it will be the same as we're approaching the news comes out in Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is, it's been amazing. And I was talking about 9/11 earlier. As the darkness comes to America and as we struggle through these difficult events, I mean, that's where you still see the Imago Dei, the image of God in every person, where all of a sudden all those differences get set aside and we just love people, we love one another, we serve one another, and that always gives me hope as well. Thanks for sharing that. Well, let's jump across the pond and talk about what's happening internationally because obviously we keep talking about North Korea. So how is North Korea affecting the markets today and what's happening in the that whole Asian region?
Well, it's obviously by the lack of their action of shooting off a missile or missiles that are celebrating their 69th year anniversary when North Korea was founded. That's what they thought, the world thought they were going to do. They didn't do that. And as a result of that, the Dow is up today. And I think part of it has to do, a big portion has to do with that. And some also has to do with the hurricanes not being as severe as we thought they were. But North Korea is taking a step back in their rhetoric that way. But they're taking a step forward in, they're already talking about that they're going to give America a hard time, and it will, they vow that, here's the quote, that they vow that the United States will face pain and suffering if the United Nations approve sanctions upon their volatile regime there. So they're in the midst of the turmoil still. They're trying to, you know, fight back that way, and but the markets are positive today in stocks. Gold has pulled back a little bit. Actually, it started in Asia early in China on Sunday when the aftermath of this was not a big issue, the hurricane and also North Korea.
Yeah. And so if the UN goes ahead and pulls the trigger on these sanctions, I mean, oftentimes people assume, I mean, Americans anyway, hey, we don't really do anything with North Korea economically, so that can't possibly hurt us if there's harder sanctions on them. Can there be an effect on our finances based on what happens in North Korea sanctions-wise?
Well, absolutely. These new sanctions, originally what they had, Steve, is that they're going to not have any working relationship. The Chinese state banks, they were going to have stop and suspend transactions with North Koreans. This is the Bank of China, the Construction Bank of China, and the Agricultural Bank of China, a major blow to North Korea. Also, that they were going to stop all importations of oil, which is about 2.2 million barrels a year. What they did is just reduce it by 10%. So the UN is backing away from sanctions. Russia does not want to help out and is saying, don't put these sanctions in. So it's mostly coming from Russia and a little bit from China. Russia is not stopping any of the coal that goes to North Korea. So how could this pan out it might be an actual positive thing for the United States if we don't put sanctions on this. But it's a two-edged sword. If we don't stop them at this level, it's just a matter of time before they have nuclear armament.
Yeah, and that's such a serious issue for obvious reasons. But you mentioned the stock market being up today, up almost 260 points, back over 22,000. So is that North Korea, or is it because we're kind of on the other side of these two hurricanes now? What do you think about that?
Well, I think a little bit is North Korea, but most of it is with the hurricanes. Hurricane Harvey, here's the numbers coming in, $86 to $108 billion of costs. Irma, $64 to $92 billion. So total costs between the two hurricanes, $150 to $200 billion. They just thought Harvey alone was going to be the $200 billion range. So the total between the two is not even the highest number quite yet. There's about a $20 to $30 billion of economic loss of wages, and, you know, like Disney and all the parks are losing Disney's losing $60 to $70 million being shut down for a couple of days. Universal's losing $20 million. So when you add up all these things and the economic infrastructure being affected, it's a loss around $20 to $30 billion of just money exchanging hands. But this is just a small portion. You know, we live in a strong country. We have funding now for it. Since last week, they passed that funding bill. And we're going to get, we're actually going to see now the market performing, because they're going to go in there with money and make the economy grow. So that's why one of the reasons why the market is growing more so than what is happening with lack of North Korea making their rhetoric.
Yeah. And what about gold? Because that pulled back today a little bit. Bonds were down a little bit. What's behind that?
This actually started the pullback in gold. It's down $16. In perspective, it's about 1.25%, which is about what the Dow is up today. But $10 of the $16, $11 of the $16 happened in Asia, in the Chinese, in the Hong Kong market, when it opened up before we even were awake here. And that's just because of all the anticipation this thing, the storm and what I'm sharing with North Korea not being a big deal. So the dollar got strengthened, but still technically the dollar is much lower still and has broke through support, and gold is still above its major support level. So really not a whole lot of change in the markets. This is what I kind of factored in already. I said last week there's probably maybe a $10 to $20 movement in gold upward with all this, and we're right dead center in it.
Yeah, and so kind of the year-to-date numbers, where are we at there? And what are you looking at, or what are you expecting, perhaps for the rest of the year?
Well, the Dow is number three out of the indexes at 11.3% up. Silver is second, 12.7%, and gold is leading the charge up 15.7%. This was after impressions today, so it's still number one. This is all because the dollar is down 13% by index. And I think we're going to have a bull market in stocks and a bull market in gold still at the end of the year. I think gold is going to come out on top, though.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important that we kind of have these updates and we talk about these financial issues, not just domestically and the U.S. stocks predominantly, but also what's happening around the world. Because whether we like it or not, we're living in a global age, and whatever happens across the pond is going to affect our pocketbooks as well. Well, one of the great things we appreciate about Landmark Capital is the great education and information that you guys make available for our listeners. So if they want to get more information, David, how do they do that?
They can call our company at 844-879-8882 and make sure they ask for that newsletter, which came first, the chicken or the egg. That's this month's newsletter.
Yeah, some great information and education that you can get through our friends at Landmark Capital. 844-879-8882 is their number. Find out more also by visiting their website. You can get educated there, landmarkgold.com. David Fisher, thanks for the help. Thanks for your expertise, and thanks for being here as always.
God bless you, and God bless America.
Amen. Thank you, brother. And we'll talk to you again real soon. Again, tomorrow I'll be live from L.A., and we'll be talking to the author, a pastor of a great book, Messy Grace. Both his parents end up being gay, and he becomes a born-again Christian. Then he has to navigate those waters throughout the rest of his adult life. It's a great book, a great story, and a lot of great fruit there for all of us. This is Steve Noble. This is Call to Action Radio. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.